my talk. Here we go. He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. Appreciate y'all for tuning into another show. Man, this show, it might get me in a little bit of trouble. And I want to preface it by saying I'm not here putting anybody down and attacking anybody personally. I'm going to be using a couple of people as examples because they were trending over the last few weeks for this particular topic. And this topic is going to kind of hit on a few different things. I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, self-love and venting on social media and oversharing on social media and what it means about us as a culture that so many people seem to run to get some sort of public acknowledgement when they're having, you know, a low point in their life, I guess you could say. So I want to touch on all these different things. I mean, it was sparked a bit by Amber Rose in the news when she was talking about her relationship. We had Lizzo, who was expressing her pain, over comments she was receiving after she dropped her latest single. So we're going to touch on that. I'm actually going to have a guest hop on for a little bit, and we're going to talk about it. My fellow LA TV brother, Bruno, who has a show on LA TV called Bruno Vision, he'll be hopping on, and we're going to talk a little bit about the whole Lizzo situation, which kind of was like the main catapult for all this, but obviously there's a few other stories that are similar to it. So we're going to hop into it. And again, you know, I want to preface this by saying this is no disrespect, especially, you know, I'm somebody who believes in expressing how you feel. And I share a lot of my life on social media, you know, and there's definitely a balance that I feel like I try to find in it. So I want to get into all this kind of stuff and kind of see what that line is when we talk about, you know, looking outwardly for love or validation, you know, because that's what a lot of it is when we talk about what we're sharing on social media. So we'll get into all that. We'll start, of course, with a deep dive. And later on the show, Bruno will be hopping on, as well as I'll be taking questions from you guys in our Ask a Gringo segment. Let's start, though, with our deep dive in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so let's kind of touch on, I guess, the stories real quick that were the inspiration for this, kind of the trending stories over the last couple of weeks. I mean, one of which was Amber Rose airing out her, I guess now her ex-boyfriend, her baby daddy, if I'm not mistaken, airing him out for cheating and going on her social media and posting all about, you know, that he was cheating on her with at least 12 different women. She did not name names, which I saw a bunch of people kind of like, giving her like credit, like, oh man, good for her not naming names. And I don't know, that kind of was just like, well, why is she even talking about this shit, you know, on social media in the first place? Like, to me, it's like that's behind closed door, you know, kind of conversations. Like, you know, sure, her dude is trash for cheating on her, but like, what is airing it out to the entire world like gonna do for you? I don't really understand why that's like the first place you run to. And then also we saw Lizzo, who was crying on her Instagram live, you know, discussing a bunch of comments she was receiving, backlash she was receiving after she dropped her song with Cardi B. And I'm only gonna just touch on that real quick just as a preface. We get into that in with my conversation with Bruno, which we'll be getting into in a few minutes, but that was a big story that was trending you know, throughout the internet for the last couple weeks at this point. And by the way, I want to make sure, you know, because I think there is like this idea, and it's a very real idea, that oftentimes when people of color, specifically women of color, express themselves, they come across as like, you know, angry or overly emotional, and we like attack them, you know. So I want to make sure that I make it very clear that I'm not, you know, personally attacking these women, you know, for this conversation, you know what I mean? Like, it just happens to be two really big names that were trending recently. I mean, you know, obviously this isn't anything new. I mean, recently I saw somebody like Madison Beer was, you know, crying on her Instagram, talking about all the hate that she gets on the internet and all this kind of stuff. So I want to make it very clear that I'm not attacking these women and kind of like, you know, saying that they are out of line for their emotions that they were feeling. I simply just want to kind of talk about this when it comes to the realm of social media and oversharing and like what I guess we as people are getting out of social media or what we're like searching for, which maybe we're not even really sure why we do it. You know what I mean? Like this culture that we've created of, you know, idolizing other people's lives and kind of running for that dopamine fix of all the likes and the love. And then also, obviously, the more followers you have, the more kind of anonymous faces will pop in your comments, kind of giving you really negative feedback and everything that kind of comes along with that. So I wanted to kind of deep dive into that. I was reading this article and it was a random site that I found, IllinoisWorkNet.com. And they just broke down certain things about oversharing when it comes to social media. And they talk about why people overshare. And one of the reasons they give is to vent emotions and stress. I mean, duh. They say, and I quote, "Chances are we've all seen someone's angry Facebook rant at least once. Because social media gives everyone a voice and a platform to express it, it can be tempting to air your dirty laundry there. Before the internet, the temptation was there." And that's a great point. Before the internet, the temptation wasn't there. I mean, we've all had those people who like tell you way too much about their life and whatever personal shit they have going on and the people that they know. The problem is that now those types of people have the internet to go and share these stories and potentially get shared by, you know, tons and tons of other people. One of the other reasons that they talk about why we overshare is to, and I quote, "let out our frustrations." According to the Huffington Post, an article in the Huffington Post, "Oversharing is fueled by our insecurities. We tend to care too much what others think and try to make up for what we think other people judge us for. This leads to some people sharing far too much information." Absolutely agree with this one. It's talking about oversharing. But also not oversharing necessarily just like the negative stuff, but oversharing like how much good shit is going on in our lives. You know what I mean? Like even something as simple, and I'm not even like taking stabs because I've done stuff like that. When I bought my house, I posted the keys to it on a social media post and things like that. And if I'm being 100% real, I mean, of course it is to kind of like, you know, show the world what you've been doing. You know, I mean, I was a loser for a very long time, not really being able to afford much. So being able to kind of publicly post that I purchased my own home was definitely something to kind of feed my ego, you know, and to maybe quell some insecurities that I've kind of grown to have during this whole journey of mine. But it also goes down to like, you know, when somebody's posting a picture that like of a gift that their boyfriend got them, or somebody's posting some new sneakers they got, whatever the case may be, we're like always just sharing. And a lot of it is fueled by our own insecurities and the need to make ourselves feel better. And the last reason they list in this article for why people overshare, and it's simple, it's for attention. Many people want their 15 minutes of fame. Getting likes, comments, shares, and that little boost of attention can give them the feeling of being famous. This can lead to a desire to post things they know will get them noticed, even if they're, quote, too much. And I mean, this is obviously like a phenomenon when it comes to, you know, booty pictures, or, you know, for men, you know, if you got abs, showing that stuff off or showing yourself off with money or in front of a car, it's like that, those likes, those comments, that attention that you're getting makes people feel famous for those few minutes. You know what I mean? Like gives you that same feeling of what a celebrity, you know, feels like. And the article goes on to talk about why stuff like this is so important to know. And they break it down into three things once again. The first one being it can be unhealthy. When we're so heavily involved in social media that we're oversharing, we're playing a game where we compare our lives to others. This is known as social comparison. It can lead to depression, low self-esteem, and jealousy. Also, feeling like you have to share every detail to appear interesting only feeds into those feelings. Now, the second thing they list is saying it can lead to security problems. That's not really something we're talking about on the show today, but I mean, obviously, if you're posting really intimate information and like specific, you know, streets where you live and things like that, that can be a problem. The other one is it can hurt your reputation. If you say the wrong thing without thinking, it can have huge consequences. I mean, this is definitely obviously something to keep in mind. I mean, the reality is you never know when somebody is watching. And obviously people like Amber Rose, or Lizzo. I mean, listen, they're doing their thing. They're going to have plenty of jobs, you know, in this life. But like for regular folk, like I know personally people in my life, you know, that have taken to places like Instagram to vent in moments of frustration. And to be real, like it really has fucked up their ability to make money. I mean, because you never know who is watching. And it just takes one person to screenshot your angry story that you posted in reaction to something to potentially fuck up a bag for yourself. And especially the industry that I'm in right now, like the entertainment industry, man, it's a lot of egos, a lot of really petty people. And you say the wrong thing about the wrong person, or you insinuate the wrong thing about the wrong person. And that might mess up a future opportunity for you in this business, or it get you blackballed altogether. And I just think for me overall, I never understood this notion. Like I never got this feeling inside of me like I'm upset. Let me go hop on Instagram Live and like, you know, show people myself at my worst, you know. And listen, I know I'm like all about authenticity and all these different things like that and being really real with my audience and speaking, you know, very honestly. But I mean, there are lines at the end of the day. And also, I want to make sure when I say this stuff, like I'm not talking down to you. I'm not talking to you from a holier than thou type of place where it's like, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for going to social media. Because nah, like I understand it. You know what I mean? Like I get it. I get we're all looking for validation in some way, shape or form. You know what I mean? And that's human nature. And I think it's like a human necessity. We all want to feel accepted. We all want to feel like there are people that are there for us. And social media does provide an incredibly convenient place to have a number of people make us feel validated in whatever we're feeling, you know what I mean? And make us feel like we have someone to talk to. So I'm not sitting here saying all this from a place of like, you know, y'all should be ashamed of yourself. Like, nah, like I'm just saying, to me, it doesn't seem like a healthy kind of model to live your life by. And I would hope that, you know, all of us can kind of find healthier ways of living and better ways of just utilizing these platforms. You know what I mean? And we'll get into some of that with my guest, Bruno. So we're going to actually move on over. My guy, Bruno, from LA TV, he's going to be hopping on now. And we'll kind of do a little bit more of a deeper dive into kind of Lizzo and that whole story. And also just get his perspective. I think Bruno has some really good ideas when it comes to self-love and all that kind of stuff. So I want to get into that before I go any further. And then, of course, we'll do Ask a Gringo, which I'm really excited. I got some really good questions. So I kind of want to make that a little bit more of the focal point of the show as well, hearing from y'all, because you got some really good questions and comments in there. Now, though, let's hop into our Mi Gente segment with my guy, Bruno, from LA TV. Before that, though, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Mi Gente. All right, helping me break down this topic just a little bit more on today's show, he is my fellow LA TV family, host of the Bruno Vision Show on LA TV. Bruno, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, man. And I wanted to get your take on this. I had mentioned it earlier in the show quickly, talking about Lizzo taking to Instagram and crying, which kind of seems like it's becoming a very common thing for her. And not to say that what she's upset about isn't real. She's getting a lot of hate, a lot of backlash in response to like her recent song and a lot of people, you know, criticizing her looks and fat shaming, you know, all these different things that we're seeing. But it is interesting to me when people decide that like going on Instagram is the healthiest way to deal with like your own internal struggle. And it's just like this weird like world that we live in today where it's like, you know, you see those videos of like people filming like something really brutal happening and like, oh my God, somebody call the police while you're holding a cell phone filming it. You know what I mean?
Like bro, you call the police.
Right. It's just like this weird thing that we don't feel like we're heard unless the entire world, unless we're broadcasting it to like social media and the entire world. I mean, does this kind of trip you out? Like we're just kind of watching, I don't know, our generation, kind of how we're utilizing these incredible tools that we have.
You know, I think it's a multifaceted answer. There are, you know, it's funny, like there's something about when you're able to, when you know, I can't speak from experience because I don't have millions of followers like Lizzo does.
Sure.
But when you have that network, I think, and a fan base, you know, it's tempting to express yourself, especially, you know, a lot of artists get caught up in the ego. And I think Lizzo, as an artist should be, is very into herself.
Sure.
So there's something about seeing yourself reflected on screen and then knowing that it's that that message is getting out to millions of people.
Right.
That I think in a way can be healing.
Yeah.
Because like, hey, like this is what I'm going through. These people support me. Like, let me let them know what's good. And and hopefully I'll, you know, I'll get a good response back. The alternative to that is, it's pretty crazy. Like it looks, it looks pretty insane to be doing that, especially when you know that not everyone's going to be down for that.
Right.
And it is a little bit self-indulgent and like, hey, look at me. I'm sad. Like, come to my rescue. When it's like, you got to be responsible for you. You can't be looking to your millions of followers to make yourself feel better. I think it does a disservice to the rest of the younger generations because it makes people think that they need to look outwardly for validation.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And I think there's only one way to look for validation and for kind of feeling whole. And, and that's to look internally and to breathe.
Great point. Right.
One of my biggest things when I feel kind of out of whack is just to sit down and breathe, do some breathing exercises and remember like who the F I am, you know?
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
It's important to just remember like, I got this. I'm okay. So
yeah,
it goes both ways.
That's a great point. And it's interesting because I struggle with this. I'm like, man, like we have so much power just in like this little device right here. You know what I mean? Like we're all connected to like pretty much anybody in the world that we want to be connected to. We are, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Instantaneously. But it's also interesting how it's like turned society almost into like egotistical maniacs. You know what I mean? It's I also think that social media has like kind of made everybody a celebrity to a degree. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, you would see, you know, whatever celebrities in the tabloids on some sort of vacation and taking whatever pictures you saw, like, you know, these glamour shots at the beach. But now it's like everybody has the opportunity to take their glamour shots and share it with like an audience that is following them and like feel almost like a celebrity. And I just wonder if like 20 years, 30 years down the line, we're going to look back on this time period and be like, oh my goodness, what a low point for humanity, you know?
We might. I mean, there's two options. We might do that or it might get worse.
That's the scary part, yeah.
That's the scary part is like if we keep perpetuating these images of like, you know, what it means to be okay in this society that we live in, you know, it's a slippery slope because at what point does it become too much over the top? And like you said, these selfies and these booty pics and whatever are being broadcast to thousands, millions of people. And then you feel like you're not yourself anymore. You're those booty pics or you're those selfies. You become a caricature of yourself.
Yeah. And your validation comes from like how many likes you're getting on there, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen it firsthand, you know, I have friends, acquaintances, a lot of people in my life, who for better or worse, you know, that's where they get their validation and it's dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I mean, I think we all can fall victim to it, myself included. You know what I mean? I've had to check myself a few times from like, it's like, you know, negative comments and me letting it affect me more than it needs to, or even like too much of the positive stuff and allowing it to, you know, maybe make me have my head a little bigger than it needs to be, you know? So it's definitely easy if you're not aware of it. Like, hey, I can get really wrapped up in this nonsense if I'm not careful, you know? But yeah, I mean, I think that we just, like you were saying earlier, need to realize that like that self-love has to come from yourself. You know what I mean? You have to look inward for that love and that validation, you know?
Yes.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you hopping on here. And for anybody that's not familiar, quickly, I want to talk about your show, kind of break down what exactly your show Bruno Vision is all about for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Yes. So, Bruno Vision started because I was feeling very corporate and I wanted to, I wanted to break things up, and you know, yeah. I was obviously very busy with the network, but I decided, you know, if I don't have a creative outlet for myself, you know, yeah. my other work is going to suffer. So
sure.
Rudo started from a need for me to express myself authentically. Mm. And I think that's what I've been doing with a little bit of an absurdist comedy twist.
Yeah.
My character is based on Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns,
mm-hmm.
Which was a old YouTube interview
yeah.
show.
I remember. Yeah. It's classic.
Just very uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly that, but it's kind of, that's the inspiration.
Sure.
And then a lot of what happens is just based on some of my favorite absurdist comics, Eric Andre, Tim and Eric's awesome show, Tim Robinson, you know, just these people who are taking comedy to the next level. Mm-hmm. And one of the main reasons I decided to do it was because I'd never seen Latino comedy kind of break out of the mold in the same way that Bruno Vision hopefully does.
No, I love that. I think we all have like weird and quirky sides of us that we don't share with the world. You know what I mean? That like we probably share with like our closest friends or maybe our family or like our partner. So I think it's awesome to kind of see a show like this where you're really like tapping into that weird side of yourself and just like magnifying it times 100. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of fun. When can people check out episodes?
So episodes, the easiest way to do it is they stream every other week. A new episode comes out. On Wednesdays, and you can go stream it on latv.com.
Nice.
Just click on watch and click on Bruno Vision. Otherwise, check your local listings. They vary on, you know, on cable, but sure. If you go to latv.com, you can check the schedule and type in your city and you'll be able to find the schedule right there.
Love it. Well, dude, it's been good getting to connect again. I always say this when I talk to one of you guys out there on the West Coast, the LATV fan, but I got to come out there soon and make a trip and get to hang out with everybody in person.
Definitely. So, I think we've been planning that, right? I think you're coming soon.
Yeah. I think we might have pushed it back a little bit, but it's definitely happening. I'll be out there. We'll, you know, be cool to kind of hop in and out of everybody's shows and have a little bit of fun, you know, mixing and matching and seeing what the vibes are out there.
Cool, man. I'm super excited, and thank you for bringing the East Coast flavor and
yes.
and for being you, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Well, listen, man, great talking to you, and I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you being on the show.
Cool.
Man, big thank you once again to my guy Bruno from Bruno Vision on LATV. Always great talking to him, man. And he's actually one of the first people that I ever linked up with before I even started having my own TV show on LATV, which Humble Brag, you can check out on Mondays on LATV or on the LATV YouTube page. Now, with that said, it's time for Ask a Gringo. Of course, where I each and every episode take questions from y'all, the listeners, my followers, the Gringo family, at DJ Dramos, if you want to be a part of that conversation. So we'll get into your questions. But first, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Ask a Gringo.
I have a question.
All right. So for this one, I asked you guys some questions first and then had you, as I usually do, ask some general questions. But to start, I asked, do you use social media to vent or for validation? Why or why not? My guy at NateV523 says, man, social media is the wrong place to vent. These people do not care about you in real life. Whew. That's true. I mean, that's a fact. You know, I think, and not to say like there aren't some great people on there. I mean, listen, I've connected with a lot of incredible, incredible people. You know, who are just genuine people and that I actually really do fuck with and have been really supportive to me. But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, most people don't actually really care about you in real life. You know what I mean? Not enough that you should be sharing some of your most personal feelings with, you know, especially if we're talking about people like Amber Rose or Lizzo, you know, who have millions and millions of followers. I mean, listen, you know, you have people out there who are enjoying seeing you, you know, at your worst. They're celebrating it. You have people who are pretending to care or pretending to give a shit about you just for, you know, the ability to possibly get closer to you or to get something out of you. So, I mean, it's just like I wouldn't go and tell, you know, some of my deepest, darkest secrets or call like, you know, a acquaintance at a time of like need. You know what I mean? I wouldn't call like a random person that I really have no real connection to and just start venting my life to them. To me, that's how I would look at social media as well. Like, it just feels really random. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't I don't know. I just don't see how it could be a healthy thing. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is you're looking to get out of it, there has to be a better way to do it. You know what I mean? At PRZ Beret, I think your name is. I apologize if I fucked that up. You said, I used to do it. I look at my Facebook memories and see that I used to use it as a diary. I think I just wanted attention. Now I don't as much. I realize how valuable privacy is. I just post here and there, but nothing like I used to. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think, like, we all do shit when we're younger, and not even when we're, like, kids. I mean, we all are like, I'm probably going to be looking back on things that I said or did, you know, in 10 years, and might be like, damn, like, I should have done that or handled that a lot better, right? So we're all constantly growing. But yeah, I mean, I think that's huge to kind of be able to recognize that in yourself, that, like, you just wanted attention. I mean, so many of us do, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm above that. You know what I mean? I'm not, like, impervious to that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've never done a post knowing I'm going to gain attention from it. I think we're all guilty of it. It's very intoxicating. You know what I mean? That dopamine fix is a real thing. I just think you got to be careful with certain things that are incredibly personal to you, and things that could potentially live on forever. You know what I mean? Because that is the thing with the internet. Like, I had a reference Madison Beer, you know, and her taking to Instagram Live to vent her frustrations or whatever the case was. And in that video, she blatantly says, please don't screenshot this, guys. And it's hard not to fucking laugh. I don't want to make fun of somebody at their worst, but, like, you're going on the internet. You have however many fucking followers you have. Like, what do you think people are going to do? If you were that concerned with, like, this not being shared, the internet probably is not the best place to do that. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, it's hard to look at that stuff and not be, again, this is me being judgmental, but it's hard not to be, because it's, to me, it looks like you just want attention, especially when you're saying something like that, when you're trying to say, guys, don't screenshot it. Well, it's like, you don't have to actually go on there and be that way. And by the way, I think somebody like Lizzo, you know, talking about the haters and all that kind of stuff, like, I'm actually not opposed to her expressing, like, hey, like, you know, this is something that bothers me. I just think there's a healthier way to do it than to be out there crying. And listen, at the end of the day, who am I to tell anybody how to handle themselves or to express their own emotions? But I think, like, releasing a statement on Twitter or something like that, where she, like, expresses something to, like, people, like, you know, reminding them, like, hey, listen, you know, I'm a real human being on the other side of this. And when you guys say X, Y, and Z type of comments, it does affect me, and it's something that we should all keep in mind of being better to one another. You know what I mean? Like, something like that, I'm all for that kind of thing. But to me, going on there, crying, staying on there while crying, I just, there has to be a part of you that is enjoying the attention and enjoying the comments that are coming in of, like, people maybe trying to pat you on the back, whatever the case may be. Because other than that, it just doesn't make sense to me. And also, to me, you're setting yourself up for the trolls to come out there and make things even worse for yourself. You know what I mean? So it just, all in all, doesn't feel like a healthy thing. At akidiedra.gw said, personally, I don't think it's a good idea. People in general are casually cruel for no reason whatsoever. There are no consequences, and the negative opinions leave a wound that festers longer than any positive options can heal. I almost fucking threw my phone across the room when I just read this one, because goddamn, it is so true. And I hate that it is so fucking true, because, like, I am guilty of this shit so much. Like, you will have a million and one positive comments, positive, like, fucking feedback, DMs, all that shit. And the second that you get a negative one, your eyes will jump to that shit and you will harp on it, fucking dissecting every bit of it and wanting to answer back and correct this person. Like, it's just a sickness. It's like the human condition. We are focused on the negative, you know what I mean, for whatever reason. And yes, absolutely, people are casually cruel for no reason whatsoever, and it is magnified, like, tenfold on the internet, because the internet gives people a place to be anonymous, which makes it that much worse. You know, before, it might be like some random person in your school talking behind your back, or a random friend talking behind your back, or whatever the case may be. But now the internet trolls, like, have the ability to be anonymous, and they can bring that shit to your doorstep just to try and get a rise out of you. And they can be fucking brutal, you know? So I think, to me, it's like, when you put yourself out there too much, man, you are just inviting all of the shit that comes along with it. And unfortunately, that means a lot of really just fucking nasty people out there on the internet who have nothing better to do than try and, you know, make themselves feel better by tearing you down. It's just, it's sadly the world that we live in right now. Let me see. At Bren J Life Coaching, she's been super active here on the podcast. I appreciate you. Let's see. She says yes and no. I want others to know that venting is normal and they are valid. And listen, I absolutely agree with this. I think venting is 110% normal. We all deserve the opportunity to vent. All of our feelings and our emotions 100% deserve to be heard. I just don't think they need to be heard on public platforms with strangers. Now, again, that's just my opinion. But to me, it's far healthier to vent and be heard by people around you, like an actual support system. You know what I mean? And whether that is having friends and family that are very close to you that you can talk to, or if you sadly do not have anybody close to you in your life that you feel comfortable talking to. I know for me, I didn't for a very long time. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be honest, you know, for me, there's a lot that I would hold back. And I've gotten better as I got older. But for me, definitely my younger days, like a lot that I would hold back from friends and family. And it really wasn't until I was like in relationships that I felt, you know, comfortable with sharing it with my partner at the time. But even then, like I've held, you know, a lot of stuff back from previous relationships. I would say that it's only in my current relationship with my current girlfriend that I feel like I've really been a bit more of an open book and been a little bit, you know, more unafraid to be vulnerable and emotional and really just truly vent how I'm feeling, you know. But before that, you know, it definitely was like a therapist for me. You know what I mean? That's something I would suggest for a lot of people. I think that's a far healthier atmosphere to be able to vent to and to have somebody help you make sense of your stuff rather than a bunch of strangers on there. Who, you know, like somebody previously said, really probably don't care all that much about your well-being. All right. And for the next part of this, I just asked people if they had any questions for me about validation or putting your personal life on social media. And I got a couple really good ones on here that I wanted to get to. At Marvin underscore Argueta asked me, where would you say is the boundary line to put personal information on social? I mean, that's a great question. It's definitely something that I have kind of had to define for myself. You know, it's different for everybody at the end of the day, right? Like we're all going to have different comfort levels. I think for me, I am pretty open about a lot of things, maybe a bit more open than some people in my life might like at times, you know, but I think I definitely have certain lines, you know what I mean? Like, My relationship is a bit off limits for the most part. You know what I mean? I might talk about general things, you know, when it comes to my relationship, you know, maybe themes that I feel like are pretty relatable for a lot of people. But for the most part, you know, I want my relationship to be very personal. I want it to be a very personal situation for me. You know, I'm not going to go and post pictures of my girlfriend on social media. Certain things and people are just incredibly personal. You know what I mean? Especially when you're talking about actual people, because while maybe by, you know, association, they've kind of signed up for a bit of a life that involves kind of like the public eye, I guess you will, just because of what I do for a living. At the same time, they didn't sign up to be put out on display in the same way that I am. You know what I mean? So I try and protect the people closest to me in my life from the scrutiny that comes along with having, you know, the public eye on you. And I feel nauseous every time I say that, because I'm not a celebrity by any stretch of the word. But, you know, there are strangers who follow me on the internet and, you know, and people who feel the need to comment on certain things. And I don't want, you know, those closest to me to be susceptible to that when they, you know, are not, when they haven't really signed up for that. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. I think even having my parents on the first episode was a bit weird for me, you know what I mean? Because I'm even guarded to a degree about my parents, you know, and I purposely didn't film that episode or do any visuals for it because I didn't want to put my parents out there like that, you know what I mean? I don't want them to be bothered by any of the things that come along with me, because it's like I don't want something I say that might piss somebody off where if I'm talking about politics or whatever the case may be, and then now like my parents or my girl or somebody's like out at, you know, fucking CVS or something like that, and somebody recognizes them and now they kind of have to answer for the shit that I've said. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm very protective about that. And I think that that's kind of where my line is to a degree, you know? And I'll be real. I've like I've crossed that line for other people in my life as far as like oversharing and like not clearing it with the person I was telling a story about. You know what I mean? And I never would tell names, but some people just didn't want their story to be told. And that's something I had to kind of learn very early on as I started getting into like podcasting and radio was like, you know, just be mindful of the, of if I'm telling a story that involves somebody else or just being, you know, aware that it's not my place to tell other people's stories. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of the biggest line that I draw. Outside of that, I try and be an open book. You know, I think in the day it just comes with trying to be as respectful as humanly possible, especially when it comes to people's like emotions and just their man, their life in general. Right. I gotta be mindful of that kind of stuff. Also on a side note, I'd say that if what I'm sharing doesn't actually have some sort of a benefit, it really doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to tell a story, I'm going to share something, talk about my personal life, I feel like it should have some sort of benefit for someone else. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sharing things just for the sake of sharing them. I want, you know, my embarrassing stories or my darker time periods. I'm sharing that stuff because I hope that it inspires others or encourages others or brings comfort to others. You know what I mean? So it's also something I keep in mind. It's like if I'm going to share something that seems incredibly personal, there has to be a good kind of reason for it as well, if that makes sense. At NateV523 said, you seem way more open now about your thoughts / opinions. How long did that take? I mean, a long fucking time. I don't know. It kind of felt like a gradual process. I definitely would kind of say it was really recently, like it's within the last year that I've really gotten to this place of comfort. I mean, you know, I've had other projects and you know, creative endeavors in the past where I've kind of, you know, dipped and dabbled in talking about personal stories. A lot of it was more like making fun of myself and kind of laughing at my own expense. But I would say over the last year has gotten down to me really being unafraid to talk about things like my struggles with mental health and everything in between. And also being unafraid of like speaking about politics or social justice issues and not really caring if somebody's offended by it, because, you know, I know that what I'm saying is, you know, with good intentions and will hopefully make, you know, this world just a little bit of a better place. But I would say over the last years when it really started to develop for me, you know, the pandemic, when we were all kind of locked inside and I was doing my daily IG lives, and for anybody that's just more recently following me, like, during the pandemic, I would do a everyday IG live talk show, a daytime talk show called Quarantine in the Afternoon, and go live every day and, you know, just have conversations with my followers. I'll have different guests on there. We talk about current events and I would just be really honest on it. And I think that doing that for a few months during the lockdown, like the early stages of the pandemic, and having a live audience, you know what I mean, to like kind of talk to and share things with, I think that really kind of like pulled the Band-Aid off a little bit and like got me really comfortable with like sharing my own emotions and things like that, especially because the beauty of that was like I was getting real time kind of like confirmation that what I was saying was like really having an effect on people. You know what I mean? Like I was getting that confirmation, and right there is like validation, right? But it was validation in a good way, because it encouraged me to kind of share my voice a little bit more and help me find my voice and find that confidence. You know, I saw that the more honest I was being, the more I was connecting with people, you know, so the more of myself I was putting out there, the more people were beginning to relate to me and the more it was hopefully helping people. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what this whole thing is all about for me. But yeah, I think I would say, man, I've been in music and like entertainment industry for like 15 years. And like, I really just got to a place over the last year where I was able to kind of get that voice out of my head. Like, oh my gosh, what if so-and-so hears me say this, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it took a while. It definitely took a while to kind of get to this point of being comfortable sharing so many personal things. But with that said, man, thank y'all so much for the questions and being a part of the show today. At DJ Dramos, if you're not following already and you want to be a part of the conversation, I post these questions in my stories every week for our Tuesday and Thursday shows. So y'all can check that out and be a part of it. I want y'all to be as big a part of this show as I am. You guys are. So thank y'all who have participated and continue to participate. I appreciate you guys. And I encourage any of y'all who haven't yet to please get involved in that. And with that said, let's kind of take everything we've learned today on today's show, all the conversation, and and kind of put it all together. And also, I want to give some actual like practical things that you can put into place if you are somebody who kind of feels like you need somewhere to share your stories and your to vent your emotions and all these different things. If you are this type of person, and no judgment here, who tends to be a bit of an oversharer on social media, I want to give you some practical tips and tricks that you could use. And we'll do it all in a segment we call Conclusion Stew.
Time for Conclusion Stew.
All right, so we touched on a bunch of things today. I want to reference back to that article that I was talking about in the For the People in the Back segment of the show, IllinoisWorkNet.com. And they had a couple quick tips to help people. Basically, how to avoid oversharing is how they said it. And what they said was oversharing can become a habit. However, breaking that habit is fairly simple. And they go on to tell us a few tips because I felt like I don't want this to just be like me shitting on people who go on Instagram Live and like talk about their life or like get pissed off and post in the Instagram stories or whatever. Like, I'm not here to judge anybody. You know what I mean? I don't want to come across that way because there's plenty of shit that people can get on me for. You know what I mean? So I don't want it to just be that. And I want there to be actual practical things that people out there who maybe are guilty of this can, you know, put into action. So let's talk about some of the tips that they suggest here. So one of them is don't post when you are angry. Anger can make you say things that you wouldn't have said otherwise. It can make you not really think about what you're saying. Angry posts may also send a message you didn't mean to send. Actually, they go on to say one more important thing that was kind of one of the points I brought up earlier. They say, on the internet, nothing is really private and nothing really goes away. Even if your profile is set to private, your whole network sees what you post. There's nothing stopping your contacts from reposting and spreading what you say, even if you deleted it. And please take this fucking shit seriously, because I personally have seen this. I've seen somebody go through a tough time at their job, go and vent about it on social media, and now, you know, even when they deleted it a couple hours later, it's already been screenshotted and it's been shared in numerous group texts and it's gone all around their fellow people in that industry, and it's shot them in the foot when it comes to trying to get another opportunity in said industry. So I think this is a brilliant piece of advice. Do not post anything on social media when you are angry. This actually reminds me also of Ryan Holiday when it comes to like stillness is the key. You always want to move from a place of stillness. Great book. You should definitely check that out. But moving from a place of stillness, a place of calm and clarity. And when someone is angry, they're neither calm nor clear on their thoughts. So just something to keep in mind. Another tip they give is be selective. Before you post anything on social media, take some time to decide if posting is really a good idea. Use your best judgment to select what info you share on social media. Decide whether it's too personal, private, or controversial to post. Also ask yourself, could someone use this information against me? And I love that question. I'm going to repeat it again because it's important. Could someone use this information against me? Keep that in mind. And the last tip they have is remember that social media isn't your life or anyone's life. Social media is a useful tool. However, be careful not to let it take over your life. Don't feel like you need to prove yourself on social media. In real life, most people don't really care about others' personal lives as much as the internet would have you believe. And this is all I'm saying when it comes to like these celebrities and things like that, like oversharing. Any of us, honestly, but like especially celebrities with a lot of followers, like majority of those people don't actually give a fuck about you as a person or what really happens in your life. So why even give those type of people the insight into what is going on behind closed doors in your personal life? It just, from that perspective, doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, why would I tell my worst enemy my deepest, darkest secrets? Why would I tell somebody who's like half paying attention, you know, why would I go to them to vent about what's happening in my life? It just doesn't make sense, and it's just not healthy. And they don't say this one, but the last one I want to say is like, have an actual support system. Like, you know, any of us, I'm sure, have actual people in our lives that would really care if we sat down and talked to them about things that were really happening to us that were bothering us. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to vent, call a friend, call a family member. And unfortunately, if you don't have people that you feel comfortable with, I said this earlier in the show, but like, Therapy is incredible. And the best part is legally, they cannot share any of the shit that you say unless it's like posing a threat to other people or something like that. Don't quote me on that legal jargon right there, but like they're not supposed to tell anybody about the shit that you say, and you're paying them. So they have to sit there, pretend to be interested, and have to at least try and help you figure it out. So that's what the beauty of therapy is. Like you literally have a sounding board that is actually well-educated and well-versed, hopefully, on mental issues and helping you work through things. And at the same time, they can't tell nobody what the fuck you said. And yeah, they have to pay attention to what you're saying. So it's a beautiful thing, therapy. And don't feel bad if like you don't feel comfortable talking to anybody in your life. Again, I was that person. I have been for a very long time where a lot of friends and family would have no idea about the things that I was going through in my life or mentally going through. And the only person that I felt comfortable talking to was a therapist or partially a person that I was in a relationship up until recently when I really have felt like I've been able to kind of open up, you know, in my latest relationship. But before that, my therapist was my best friend, my best sounding board, and I'm totally fine and totally okay with that being the case. I hope that was helpful. I hope that, you know, I didn't come across as trying to shame anybody. I just think that, man, we're all like constantly looking for this outward validation, and things like social media train us to look for our happiness, you know, and our validation outwardly. And again, I am not above this. There are times when I post something to social media, I post a YouTube video, I post a podcast, and if it does not get the response that I am looking for, that I was hoping in my head, or that I am used to, I begin to question everything in my fucking life. And, you know, I want to burn it all down and start all over again because the world hates me. And that's what my head is telling me. You know what I mean? Like the world stopped caring about what I had to say. And it's just not real life. Like that, these things are tools and we have to use them as such. We cannot let them use us at the end of the day. So as corny as it sounds, of course, that love, that validation, it all comes from inward. It's self-love. I know that's a very general thing. It's not an easy thing to do, but you got to find a way to truly fall in love with yourself, to find comfort in who you are and all that you have going on, and however you do that. It's easier said than done, of course, but like, man, sometimes it just takes like spending a lot of time with yourself. So many of us like are rushing out to like, you know, numb whatever's going on in our head and hide from it rather than like taking the time to sit alone with yourself and just get lost in, you know, your mind. I love doing that. I love being alone. As much as I love being around people, I also love being alone probably just a little bit more because I really get in touch with myself. I get in touch with how I'm feeling and get to know myself and enjoy spending that time with myself. And I think that's how you begin to learn to love yourself at the end of the day. Sorry, I'm rambling here at the end about that stuff. I'm just trying to be as proactive as possible and hopefully add some value to anybody that is listening, has made it to the end of the podcast, because I appreciate y'all so much. With that said, that's it. I'll be back with another podcast on Tuesday. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my half vacation until then. I appreciate y'all for listening. Follow me at DJ Dramos if you want to be a part of the conversation. I appreciate all the love and feedback. Let me know any episode ideas you guys might have. DM them to me. I definitely want to hear what you might be interested in, what else I could be doing with this podcast, because this is all about y'all as much as it's about me. I want to really, really try and create this community right here because I feel like so many people are kind of resonating with what I felt. And I want to make sure that I'm continuing to give y'all value. So hit me up in them DMs. Let me know any ideas, what I could be doing better, what you like, what you didn't like, and we'll go from there. And I'll catch y'all next episode. Stay safe.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Tura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.